You go right ahead. You got me up on the board there, Jake? Atta kid. There we go. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm glad you're here with us today. We got a few visitors with us today, and I'm always glad to see visitors. If I haven't met you, don't know you, so hang around a little bit. Make sure you get to see me. Make sure I get to know you. Make sure I get to meet you while you're here. Been waiting on Rochelle and Stephen over here for a while. They've been off. I'll just tell you, they haven't been here the last few weeks because they've been off. They've got a new grandchild. So they've been off with that new grandchild. I can't imagine doing that, you know. Yeah, I can't imagine that. And y'all were in West Virginia or Virginia?
Virginia.
Virginia. Okay, so they've been off for a while, but we're so glad that they're back with us today. If you have been coming on Wednesday nights to our Wednesday night Bible study, we've been studying Jesus' life, and we've combined the four gospel accounts. And we've been using those four gospel accounts to have a chronological order of Jesus' life. It's really a very, very good study. And one of the things that we talked about last Wednesday night was the great catch of fish, the first great catch of fish. There were actually two. But the first great catch of fish we were talking about how Peter fell to his knees and said, "Depart from me, for I am a sinner. I'm not worthy to be in your presence." And realize exactly, that's exactly how we're going to be when we see Jesus for the first time. The scripture tells us, point blank, that we will fall to our knees. For every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess. When we see him in all of his glory, we're going to realize that we are not worthy of being with him. You know how we become worthy of being with him? Through Jesus himself. The fact that he paid our debt for sin, the fact that he bled for us on the cross, the fact that he died, the fact that he rose again, is the reason why we have hope of eternal salvation. It is the reason why we can be with God. Without him, the only thing we're going to hear is, "Depart from me, ye cursed, for I never knew you." That's the response that we'll hear if we do not have Jesus. But if we have Jesus, if we have Jesus on our side, if we have Jesus, then what we will hear is, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." This is what we hope for. This is what we desire. And in doing that, in being that well done, good and faithful servant, one of the things that we have to do is we have to be a disciple of Christ. Now, how many of y'all had a favorite teacher growing up? A favorite teacher. And I know that there's at least one of you here that had me as a teacher. So other than me, how many of you had a favorite teacher? Most all of us had a favorite teacher. And I want you to know that I was in college longer than I was in K through 12. And so I had a lot of teachers. Oh my goodness, I had a lot of teachers. And some of them were really, really good. And some of them were really, really bad. And then there were some in the middle. And those that were really, really good, I want you to know that probably my senior English teacher was probably the best teacher I had in high school. And the reason why is because most of you already know this, but some of you don't. I'm dyslexic. And I was dyslexic at a time when they didn't know what that was. They had no idea what that was. I graduated high school with a 3.2 GPA, but in English, I made D's just to pass. I'd make straight A's and everything else and make a D in English. And my senior English teacher figured out that there was something not right. Because she said to me, she said, how can you make an A in Algebra 2 and yet make a D in English? It doesn't make sense. And so she figured it out. And she figured out that there was something not exactly right. And so what happened was that she encouraged me that when I got into college to take a reading course. And I took a reading course. And in that reading course, they identified that, yes, you are dyslexic. And then we came up with a plan as to how I could go through college and graduate. Now, she is definitely one of my favorite teachers. What a great lady she was. Do you have her too? Yeah, I know Kathy did. But she was definitely one of my favorite teachers. And I strove as a teacher myself to kind of emulate what she did in order to improve her students. I tried to do the same thing to improve my students and to make them better. So I tried my best to follow her example. And a lot of you have been in that same situation, especially if you've been teachers. If you've been a teacher, you followed some other teacher that you had along the way. And you probably set up your classes and the way that you taught based upon how that teacher set up their classes and the way that they taught. Teachers are fine people. And I will never, ever, ever say anything bad about a teacher. Because I know they are overworked. There are more things expected out of them than you can ever imagine. And they are far underpaid. They are fine people. They don't do it for money. They don't do it for fame. They don't do it for glory. They do it for the purpose of helping others. Now, think about it in that stance about Jesus Christ. What he did for you. And folks, what we need to do as Christian people is desire more and more and more to be just like him in everything that we do. Now, I want to start off with a verse here in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. It says this, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good. Even in your darkest hours, even in your darkest times, realize that God causes all things to work together for good for those who God loves, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, I have a question for you. Have you been called? If you don't think you've been called, then you're not answering your phone. Because I can tell you right now that every one of us are called for God's purpose. And what is God's purpose? That none should perish. None should perish. But all people everywhere should come to repentance. No person does God want to go to hell. All of us are called to go to heaven. God has called all of us. And I've told you the story before about people ask me, say, well, when did you get the calling to become a preacher? I said, well, Jim Emerson picked up the phone and called me and he asked me to come to be a preacher. All the Emersons sitting over there, they know the story. Folks, that's not what we're talking about. Because you are called. All of us are called to follow God, to do His will, to become His child, to be a part of His kingdom, to be in heaven with Him. All of us are called together for that purpose. And as we look at this, we need to know what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to start off this morning by going into defining exactly what a disciple is. And as we look at this, a disciple is the most commonly used term in the Bible for followers of Jesus. I've told you before, the apostles are also called disciples. But I tell you this as well. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are a disciple. As I mentioned a minute ago about one of my favorite teachers in high school, and I tried to emulate what she did in her classroom so that I could teach the same way that she taught. And in that process, I was her disciple. I tried to follow her pattern. I tried to follow how she did it. And like I said, there are many different ways in which we are disciples. If we follow someone, we are their disciple. If we are a disciple of Christ, we are a follower of Christ. It also means this, very plainly, that we are a learner. We learn from that teacher. We learn from the one who describes to us how we do things, how we should do things. And in that, the fullest sense of the word is one who follows the teacher. One who learns from that teacher. One who follows the teachings of that teacher. And lastly, one who becomes like that teacher. To be a Christian means to be Christ-like. Amen. We are a follower. We are a learner. We try to emulate what that teacher did and realize this, to be a teacher, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, we must strive in our life to be like Jesus Christ. Now, in order for us to be a disciple of Christ, there are several things that we must learn along the way. First is this. Luke chapter 5, verse 1 says this. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, listening to the word of God. The first thing that we must do in order to follow a teacher is we must hear what that teacher has to say. It's hard to follow a teacher if you don't know their words. Matter of fact, it is impossible. So therefore, one of the things that we must do as disciples of Christ is that we must be learners. We must learn from Jesus exactly what the word is. Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by him. And therefore, we must learn those words from him in order so that we might be able to go out in the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We can't do that if we don't know what the gospel is. So therefore, when we come together, we must learn the words that God has told us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Secondly, we must understand. Luke chapter 5, verse 8. We must understand where our situation is. One of the things about the Old Testament, Paul says the Old Testament was my what? Schoolmaster. The Old Testament taught me, he says, what coveting was. I would not know what coveting was if it was not the Old Testament that taught it to me. But realize this, the Old Testament teaches us three things. The Old Testament teaches us, number one, what sin is. Like Paul said, I wouldn't have known what coveting was. The Old Testament, number one, teaches us what sin is. Number two, the Old Testament teaches us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the third thing that the Old Testament teaches us is the fact that we cannot save ourselves. We must have a Redeemer. We must have someone to pay our debt for sin so that we can go to heaven. Without that, we are lost. And so we must understand exactly where we are. And we must understand in our lifetime that we are sinners. And therefore we must be forgiven. And there's but only one way to do that. No one comes unto the Father except through Jesus Christ. We must acknowledge the situation. We must acknowledge that Jesus is the only way. That this is God's word. We must acknowledge that he is our schoolmaster. He is our teacher. He is the one in which we must follow. We must acknowledge that Jesus Christ himself is our guide for everything that we do on this earth. Amen. We must acknowledge that we are a sinner. We must acknowledge that he is the way. This is one right here that oftentimes people don't do. You know, we talk about baptism a lot, and we should talk about baptism a lot, because without baptism, you are lost. You must be baptized in order to be saved. Okay? But understand this as well. There's more to it than just baptism. We must repent. Repentance is something I talked about a couple of Sundays ago. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, remember they asked Peter and the rest of the apostles, "What shall we do?" And what was the first word out of Peter's mouth? Repent. Followed by being baptized. But repentance is a requirement for salvation. Repentance is a change. And I've heard people say this to me very point blank. They said, you know, I'm going to give this up, and I'm going to give this up, and I'm going to give this up. But you know, I'm not going to give this up. I'm going to keep doing this, and I'm going to keep doing these things right here because I really like those things so much. So I'm not going to turn away from those, but I'm going to turn away from these other things. Now, my response to that person is, then you're not ready to be baptized. Because baptism requires a change. You are buried in the likeness of his death, and you are raised as a new creature in the likeness of his resurrection. I'm no longer the same person. Do you know someone in your life who has truly repented, who has truly turned away from their old ways? And you haven't seen them in a long time, and you see them, and all of a sudden, they're different. They act different. They do things differently. They treat people differently. They talk different. They don't go out drinking with their buddies anymore. They're different people. Why? Because they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, and they've been cleansed, and they realize the gift that they have received. We must change. You cannot keep doing what you've been doing all of your life and expect that to be okay. Because if you do that, then I can dunk you up here, and all you're going to do is get wet. You must change. This means that we must give something up. We must sacrifice. Randy brought that up just a little bit ago about how much we have truly been blessed. And I want you to know that in this nation, if you've never gone out of this nation, you don't know. You really don't. You don't know how much we've got in comparison with the rest of the world. I've been to places where a person was considered to be rich if they made $250 a month. They were considered to be rich if they had a car. If they had a car. Most of us have at least two cars. Some of us have more than that. But if they had a car, they were considered to be rich. If they had something more than one room in their home, they were considered to be rich. If they didn't have to share their home with three and four generations, they were considered to be rich. If they had food on the table every day, they were considered to be rich. I've been to places like that. And I can tell you right now that there's not any of us here in this audience today that probably don't have food on your table every day. There's probably not any of us in this audience today that don't have at least one car, maybe two, maybe three, maybe four. A house in which one generation lives. A house that has three and four bedrooms. Roof over our heads. Food on the table. We have truly been blessed. But I tell you that for this. We must sacrifice things. in order to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The verse that I have up here, Luke 5:11, tells us that when the apostles were called, these four specifically, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, when they were called, what did they do? They left everything. They left their livelihood. They left family. And folks, there are times in which we may have to turn against family. There are times when we may have to turn against friends. There are times in which we may have to give up certain jobs because they are not conducive for us to be a Christian. There are times in which we may have to do something that we don't necessarily want to do. But we do it because our purpose is to follow God. We are disciples of Christ. We are His children. And also this, we must act. We were talking this morning in our 101 class about the power of prayer. And I agree 100% with what was said. We are calling upon the power of the universe. We are calling upon the Creator of all things. We're calling upon the person, the one who can do all things. The power of prayer is enormous. And they were saying, which I agree with, they were saying, do not discount the power of prayer. We've been having a lot of violence lately in this country. And people have been saying things like, we need to pray. Agree. 100%. But we also need to act. Pray and act. Act as if God has already answered your prayer. Act as if God has already said, yes, go do it. Move in that manner. I watched an old war movie one time, old World War II war movie, and they were stuck in this place behind enemy lines, and the Germans were coming in on them, and they were scared. And one of them says, I think I've got a plan. And the one chaplain that's there with them kneels down immediately and starts to pray and thanking God. And he said, well, you better not thank him too much yet because you haven't heard my plan. And his response was, always thank God because God is always there. And God will help us through this. Amen. Always thank God. We must act as if God has already said yes. Move as if God is there before you because He is. Walk in faith because without it, it's impossible to please God. Always strive to do God's will, and He will help you through every situation. Act with faith. Act knowing that you are with God. Understand, as I mentioned a minute ago, that we are called. And like I said, if you don't think you haven't been called, you haven't answered your phone. But I want to warn you about this one verse that I have up on the board. For this one verse says this, many are called. And I can change that word many to the word all. And it does not change the meaning, nor does it change the scripture. Because all people are called. But notice what it also says there. Here's the problem. Few are chosen. Few answer the call. You have been called to be Christ's disciple. Have you answered the call? For the call is going out to all. Jesus stands at the door and knocks. Open the door. Invite him in. How is your discipleship? How are you doing? Are you striving to be like Jesus Christ? Are you striving to do his will? Are you striving to follow his commands? Are you a true disciple of Christ? Step out. Step out away from the world and step into the arms of Jesus. Amen. If you have a need this morning, a need for our prayers, or a need to be baptized, we want you to come while together we stand.